sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Well, good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And I am here with Mark Carr. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Becky. How are you feeling?
Do you know I'm feeling pretty groovy today?
That's great.
Does that tell you how old I am, if I'm feeling groovy?
That's young. That's the 70s, isn't it, groovy? That's...
Groovy.
Yeah.
Was groovy the 70s. 60s or 70s?
I think it's 70s.
You don't remember 60s? Either one of them, so it doesn't really matter, does it? But I've got someone who does with us today. How are you doing, Scott Hill?
Becky, I'm doing really well. I appreciate that. And by the way, that groovy sense of tone was also a part of my upbringing. I'm sure it was the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking
groovy
that, too.
Groovy was a term that I used to use and get kidded for it, and rightly so.
Feeling groovy. Well, we are here to talk about real estate. So go figure, real estate today.
It's a great topic.
It is a great – everyone's interested in real estate. And, you know, last week we did an entire hour – of radio without ever mentioning COVID, corona, or virus. And I think it was probably the only hour on radio that did not mention that last week. So we spared you. This week, we're going to mention it, but we're not just going to only talk about that, because that's all you hear when you turn on the radio or the TV. So, but what precautions, Scott, you have a home inspection company, mm-hmm. and it's called Call Us First Home Inspections.
Uh-huh.
And how has this atmosphere of contagion affected your business?
You know, it hasn't affected our business yet. I think there's a little bit of a double-edged sword going on right now with the real estate industry. And by that, I mean there are investors, quite frankly, with handy cash that are kind of out there snooping because they think they're going to be able to take advantage of this in some ways. With people might get themselves in financial problems. They want to be there to, you know, get a good deal, so to speak. So they're kind of searching out there. And then there's those other people out there because of the low interest rates that are refinancing. So we're getting a lot of business from the people that are refinancing and you know, just wanting to have us come back in and look at their house again. And also, there's people that are worried and they want to sell, and we're doing pre-sale or pre-inspections, and we're doing that at a lesser price. So we've been able to kind of adjust a little bit to keep the flow going. But I think those three things are really kind of what's going on in the real estate business, at least for my end of the business. Right.
Well, now. And that's what we were wanting to get is from a home inspector's point of view. I mean, do you hazmat up before you go into a home now, or what do you do?
We're very, very careful about this, you know, staying the 6 feet away. And we've talked about that very much. We don't do, you know, we don't put the mask on as such yet. We haven't done that. Typically, as you both of you all know, you know, there's only about two times during the entire inspection that there's a lot of close interaction. It's at the first and at the end. So we're very careful. And it's been kind of funny because, you know, even the people we work with, we walk in and first thing you do is you look at them, and it's one of those, you know, I would shake your hand, but I'm not even going to knuckle bump you now. We're going to stay away. So
right.
Everybody's so aware of it, and it at first it was a little bit odd to walk into those situations. Now it's secondhand. Everybody understands that we're going to do our job. We're going to stay away from you, the proper distance, and they're going to do the same.
Do you know, and I think that we're all going to learn a little something from this about changes in our society. There is nobody that appreciates a good handshake more than I do. I hire based on a handshake, because if someone comes into my office and to interview for a job or wants to be on the sales force of my team, a handshake means a lot as to their confidence and their just kind of their, I guess it is confidence.
Sure.
That,
yeah.
Just who
I agree
they
with
are.
You, Becky.
And that, so I've always done that, and I haven't really come up with a criteria for that little elbow bump yet.
It's a little different. You know, I was raised, you know, you talked about that groovy time. I was raised, well, you know, my granddad and father, they would expect us to shake hands with each other, and we hadn't seen each other for a while. Not only that, you shake hands and you look the person right in the eye. I don't care if it's the richest man in the world, the poorest person, treat everybody the same way, and that handshake was a big part of it. So, I was raised that exact same, but one of those good things that Groovy brought out.
That's exactly right. I'm not sure Groovy brought that out.
I'm not either. Good time period, let's put it that way.
So when we talk about home inspections, and that's what we're talking about today, and I want to invite our listeners, why don't you guys call in and ask a question of Scott Hill? Scott Hill has really exceeded our expectations in home inspections, and we are very particular because what we look for in a home inspector is someone who is impartial. You're doing the inspection for the home buyer, but we want an objective view of that property. If there is a fault, something that's unsafe, broken, or not working as intended, that's sort of the three things that the home inspector looks for, and we want to know what those are, because the last thing that I ever want to hear is, well, your home inspector didn't find this because it would have killed the deal. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, do you ever have, and you may have, had a realtor ask you to overlook a fault?
I've not had a realtor actually look at me and say, you know, I'd like for you to overlook this. You know, there's three types of realtors, Becky, and I'll you know, give you a certain high five here. You know, one of the reasons we really enjoy working for you and Mark and Joe and Blake, Shelley even, is that you all put the customers first. And the customer first means if there's something wrong with the house, then they need to know it, you need to know it, and follow the appropriate stages to either get the deal done or not get the deal done. So obviously we try to do that. You know, it's easy for us. You know, the way we look at it, we're sort of the partner of the house. You know, we're working for the client. We're also working for the realtor to some degree because we want to do a good job for you all. But we're sort of a partner of the house being, you know, that physical thing that needs whatever it needs fixed. But as far as a realtor actually coming in and coming out and saying, you know, here's this situation over here. You've got an HVA system that, you know, really didn't work. Could you overlook that this time? I've never actually had that happen. I do have had happen several times, realtors leaning towards not wanting to tell the whole truth, but never actually pushing me to do that.
Well, but that's the same thing.
It is the same thing.
It can actually result in exactly the same thing. And so there's three kinds of realtors. You address the first. What are the other two?
There's three kinds of realtors. There's the realtor that has the client's best interest at heart, for sure. There's the realtor that has their best interest at heart, for sure. And then there's the type of realtor that looks at the overall project and works with you during the course of the project. Those are the greatest realtors. I've asked Mark, and we're not afraid to say, gosh, I don't know. We'll find out. But if we see something there that we don't know, we're not afraid to say that. And then, but we'll go find out for you and let you know. And I think that's a way of working back and forth, because if you act like you know everything, nobody knows everything with a house.
Yeah, Scott and I have been together on several inspections. And one of the things I just love about Scott and his team is they present the facts without the fear. Isn't that a good theme for right now? Facts without fear. You want to know what the truth is about that house, but we shouldn't be fearful of the unknown with that house. And that's what you guys present that. So the buyer can make the right decision for their family.
For sure. Well, we are going to talk a little bit more when we right after a break. And if you have a question, I've got a free lunch for you. So give us a call, 840-1000, right here in the area code of the 405 on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Well, Mike Gannon, just the computer just had to reboot, and during the well, it couldn't really be called drive time yesterday because no one was really driving. But during the normal drive time, Lee Matthews, the computers totally went down, and he had to wait for everything to reboot before he could do anything. So I'm not sure. Do you know something that you're ready for me to strike fear into everybody?
Oh, we're ready, Becky.
What if this were a computer virus?
Oh, my goodness.
We talk about disaster. We would be in disaster if this were a computer virus.
Yeah.
More so, I think more so than a physical
virus. You
think more so? Oh. Can you imagine if we could not access our files on the web?
Yeah. Everything is.
Our phone numbers and addresses. And
I know, because nobody remembers those anymore, right?
That's right.
I can't even remember my own.
Does China own all those too? We might ought to find out real quick.
Yeah, I know. Well, at our office, it's almost business as usual. People are still looking at houses. We had to show virtually yesterday to someone who was quarantined in Texas. And so Blake got up out of his chair. He made the appointments, and he went with his phone and did a virtual walkthrough of, I think he showed three houses to them. They decided on one. And I think they're contracting. And I told him to extend the inspection period. Our contracts now call for an inspection period. And it's really not just inspections, but it's investigations, inspections, and reviews. And if you extend that a little bit so that we can be sure that they can get out of quarantine and come look at the house in person during the inspection period. And we might talk about that inspection period, Scott, because if our home inspectors do not render that report quickly, and we get out of the inspection period, you got two choices. You can accept the house in its current condition, all of its faults, or you can opt out of your contract. And you've already paid for your appraisal. You've already paid for your inspections and your termite inspection and your credit report, the things that are hard money that you've got to go pay, no matter whether you buy the house or not. So how often do you get a report out within 24 hours after you do the inspection?
Becky, we're always within 24 hours. Matter of fact, our prompt is this: we typically, if we don't have two or three a day, we normally get it out that day. If we have one in the morning, we almost always get it out that day, and always before 10 o'clock the next morning. That's just something that we've set our sights on and been able to do. And as you and Mark both know, you know, we've got four people that work along with me, and typically we bring two people if it's a house, you know, above 1,000 square feet. So one person builds the report. And then we work on the report as we go, and then we both go and sit down afterwards, and we schedule our appointments likewise to where we can sit down and at least have 30, 45 minutes to go over everything together. And then the person that did not build the report actually is responsible for going, finalizing the report, cleaning it all up, and getting it sent. So we've got a system there that helps us a little bit with that.
By the way, I'm not sure how you picked the software for your report, but you have great reports. You don't report more than you have to, which is some. I got a report one time that was 71 pages long.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
And every picture they took, they put in that report. Now, I'm sure you take more pictures than you put into the report. Sure. You pick the best one that exemplifies and shows what the fault is and or what the issue is. And you draw an arrow on the computer to point to exactly what you're talking about in the description below it. So there's such a thing as too much report. We just need the facts. We don't need to read a novel.
Well, we're lucky. The person that actually built the report, Neil built the report. And before he built the report, he actually went on 400. He's an inspector. Okay. He went on over 400 inspections as a field trip, so to speak, as he was building the report. So he built it as an inspector. And, you know, we hope that the way our report is built is there's four different sections to it. And the way we like to explain it is that There's four sections. One section just gives exactly what is in the house, what type of house it is. The next section gives everything that we look for with a check mark. The third section is really where the defined information comes in, and it also has a checkpoint or a number that corresponds with the pictures over to the right. So everything leads left to right, and what we want to happen is when the client gets it, realtor gets it, TRR is done, then you can hand it to the electrician. The electrician can say, okay, this is the problem. This is where it is. This is where I'm going to go to fix it. And it saves time for everybody. And that's the way that Neil actually built the report. So that's really been beneficial to us to have an inspector that's actually had all the experience to be able to get involved in it.
And if you don't know, if you have not bought a house in the last 7 years, I think it was maybe 2013 or 14, TRR became a term. And before that, it was not. We had a repair cap before that. That was a predetermined amount a seller was willing to pay to fix repairs on a house. And that was negotiated with the contracting process. Mm-hmm. So the seller right up front says, I'll fix up to this much money. Before that, it was the buyer pays, this tells you how long ago that was, the buyer pays the first $100 of the plumbing repairs. Because we didn't have other inspections. We only had plumbing inspection. Mm-hmm. And the seller pays the rest of it up to $500 or whatever it was. You know.
Groovy.
Yeah, I know. That was about almost in the groovy time. Now we do full house inspections. And back before we had – when our contract read plumbing – since we weren't computerized, it's hard to tell. But I do think I could have been the first one to do heating and air conditioning and electrical inspections. Hayes Electric did an electrical inspection of a house back then for $40.
Wow.
That's how long ago that was. But now we do full house inspections where you get a person or a team of people that go out and inspect the house from the top down to the foundation. Mm-hmm. Or maybe from the foundation to the roof. I'm not sure which direction you go. Mm-hmm. But they literally check all the components of the house. You guys don't take things apart, do you?
No, the only thing, we take the cover off of the furnace to make sure we check inside the furnace and see how it is. But as far as taking anything apart, no, we don't take anything.
Yeah, because you don't have the authority of the homeowner to do that.
No, we don't. We take the cover off the electrical box to make sure that we can check the wiring and the amps and so forth. But as far as taking anything apart, our job is primarily visual and then to be smart about making sure that if it works, does it work appropriately? And then we have some diagnostic equipment where an interesting time is we actually check what's called the differentials between the heat and the air. And on the differentials, one of the things you look at for a furnace is how old it is. And if it's over 15 years old, then typically those are going to last between 15 and 25 years. So you're on that back end a little bit, but you can test that. And even if it's 30 years old, you turn the heater on, and the supply is the air, the heat that's coming out that's already been warmed, and then return is the air that goes back into the furnace that rewarms and comes back out. So we test both of those, and we like to get 20, 25 degrees difference. If we get 20 to 25 degrees difference, if the furnace is 1 year old or 25 years old, either one, then the furnace is working appropriately. Same thing with the condenser in there and the air conditioner. So those are a couple of things that inspectors do that probably John Q. Public doesn't really understand, but that's a really good variable in realizing how well your HVAC unit is working or not.
Well, and, you know, we've got inspectors here in the metro that do that backwards. And what that means to me is they will, during the heat of the summer, they will turn on the furnace and check it first, and then they never have enough differential on the air conditioning because they've heated up the ductwork with the furnace. And we always get that where there's 13 or 14 degrees difference. And 13 is, I think, sort of the threshold. If it's less than 13 degree differential between your output and your intake on your air, that's not good. And you try for 20. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to have 20. That's sort of the magic number, I think, if you look at the manufacturer mm-hmm. stuff. But if you heat up those air conditioning those air ducts, the supply ducts, with a heater, it's going to take a while to cool them back down.
It is. I mean, you have to use a little common sense, I think, too. Just if you're going to do the heater first, and in this time of year, we're just now getting to the time of year, because about 50 degrees is that temperature to where you really don't want to start the air conditioner and run it for a length of time, because it might harm the evaporator coil.
Right.
So you just turn it on and make sure it works this time of year.
Well, we're here with Scott Hill, and Sarah, hang on the line, because we're going to catch you right after this break, and we're talking home inspections here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, and thank you for listening. You don't have much else to do today, do you?
We have you trapped.
Yeah, I know. I love that captive audience thing. I'm here with Scott Hill, and Scott is our expert on home inspections. And Mark Carr, who is my expert on coming to the radio with me. And Mark, you sell houses. You've got 3 closings this week.
I do.
Good deal.
Yeah, it's a good week.
It's a good week.
Yeah.
That's a lot of hard work. And we sell a lot of houses, don't we?
We do. We do. And it's a fun time to sell houses. And one of the things that I've always heard you say, Becky, is that when times get difficult, it's when the expertise in the real estate market really makes a difference.
Like, if this everything is, went perfectly yeah. okay, you might not need
right.
expert real estate stuff,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But does it ever go perfectly okay? If it does, you're losing money. If you're selling, you're paying too much if you're buying, because you haven't had an expert negotiate for you.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, you have been so kind to hang on.
Hi, Becky and crew.
Hi. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm on my way to work. Well, I'm actually at work. I'm just not clocking in. But my husband and I have duplexes in Norman, and we have people who won't pay rent and won't get out, and we want to sell it. Do we put a sign up first, or do we go to court to get them out?
Oh, I've got your answer for that. You ready?
Yes.
Read your lease. Your lease will define what order and what power you have. You cannot use just an internet lease and be protected in the state of Oklahoma.
Our lease says that they have to move out in 5 days if they don't pay the rent, but we haven't done that.
Well, I can give you the name of an attorney that for like $250, he will go and file your a forcible entry and detainer for you. And that's process serving, filing fees, and everything. That's because that guy stands up there every week in that court, and he's got like 50 cases where he's working on behalf of a landlord. The other document that you need to read is the Landlord-Tenant Act. It's about 20 pages long. And it will define what you can do and cannot do by law. We're in desperate times, so let's just look at that. They were in default prior to this contagious atmosphere that we're in, right?
Yes, they owe us 3 months' rent. They just keep giving us sad stories, and my husband lets them get by with it.
Well,
so we decided we're going to sell it.
I'll tell you what, I'd have to put on another hat to help you deal with your husband. But
hey, when I set my foot down, it's down.
Well, it better be on top of his foot. I'll tell you what, you need to leave your number with Mike Gannon, because I'm going to call and give you the attorney to use for your forcible entry and detainer. And that gets them out of your house. It also asks the attorney to try to get a judgment for you.
Don't never work. But yeah,
I know. I'm with you on that. Spending good money after bad. Is that what it is? If they hadn't paid their rent, the judgment won't do any good.
It does. And I've been through this before a few years back.
Well, and good luck with that with the courthouse, because they kind of have shut down.
Well, they take advantage of every corner that they turn, and they know how to play the game. But I do need the attorney, and I did give him my address, because he's going to give me a coupon to go eat once the restaurant's open back up.
Oh, well, let me tell you something. That restaurant is open.
Oh, it is?
Yes, it is. Casa Perico Mexican Grill is.
Oh, we love it.
Yes, it is not open for in dining. You call them, and they are going to bring it curbside for you.
Oh, cool. That's wonderful.
You pay by credit card or debit card when you order, so that they don't even have to touch the money.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure, when you do carry out, the person that prepares that carry out does not get to wait a table. Tip those people.
Yes, I heard that on TV. That's a good idea.
I mean, they take their time to package up your stuff instead of taking a table. It's kind of a rotation thing. Mm-hmm. It's called an up in the real estate business. I mean, in the restaurant business. It's your up is what it's called. And that takes an up. And they don't get, most of the time, people don't tip on that. And particularly a Mexican restaurant, because they do the chips, the salsa. Mm-hmm. The queso, they package up all this stuff for you, and they need to be tipped. So take that to heart. But both of their locations are open at 63rd west of Meridian.
122nd and Penn is the other location.
Yeah. So go eat there.
Yeah.
So I'm anxious to sell your rental in Norman.
I'm anxious to do the inspection.
Yeah.
Yes, and Scott's anxious to do the inspection. He's been to Norman before.
Once or twice he has. Yeah.
Sarah, were you aware that Scott Hill, as I call him, Scotty Hill, was an OU football player?
I think I've heard him say that before.
Back in the day of the groovy, he was there.
That was a long time ago, Sarah, by the way.
Well, we don't talk about things like that when Sarah's around.
Yeah.
I'm 76 years old, and I still work 40 hours a week.
I have to be really careful when I'm talking to somebody, too. I have to wear orange every once in a while just to get the job, but that's all right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, last week you talked about, I just lost my train of thought. Sarah told you I was 76. Last week you talked about, refresh my memory. I was so proud of you, Becky, because you were talking about, you weren't going to retire. That's what it was.
Oh.
You weren't going to retire. Neither am I.
Well, what would I do if I retired?
That's me. I don't want to sit home on my rear and do nothing.
I'll tell you what. The thing is if you can help people and you've got the energy, the good health,
and a clear mind
in order to help people, you need to do it.
That's what I do.
Okay. Well,
and I appreciate you for that. And I have about 20 minutes to get in the building, so I guess I better.
There you go. Well, I'm going to let you go because it is time for our. It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to do a small repair or put on an entire roof. And especially they're good at insurance claims, because they're going to get, if your gutter's damaged, they'll get that. If your patio furniture is damaged, they will include that in your claim. They're experts at insurance claims. So last week I went straight from here to a listing appointment, and I pull into the driveway. I almost pass it by because there was a Robbins Roofing truck in the driveway. And I thought, well, that's the address. Why would someone from Robbins Roofing be calling me as though they were a stranger? Because, I mean, I've worked with those people for 20 years. And come to find out, I had mentioned on the radio to call them to check your roof, because you don't know if you got roof damage, yeah, unless you've been up there and you're an expert. Mm-hmm. And that lady had called. And they were already out there by the time I got off the radio and there. So that was pretty fast service, right? So, yeah. So our word of the day is quarantine. Anyone know what quarantine means? Well, it's actually a state or period or a place of isolation. I don't like that word, isolation, in which people or animals, whatever, have arrived from somewhere else and been exposed to an infectious or contagious disease, and they're placed in a place of isolation. That is quarantine. Mm. We're kind of dealing with that nowadays, aren't we? So if someone has quarantined themselves in their home and they need a home inspection, what do they do?
I don't know. That would be a tough decision, I think. Hopefully we'd be able to talk to them on the phone and work out something to where we either got there and wore masks. We certainly have masks, thank goodness. That's one of the things we have, because a lot of times you're going up in the attic and you don't want to, you know, breathe in the fiberglass and certain things, and same thing with crawl spaces. So we have those available, so we could offer that, I suppose, and offer them one at the same time.
Well, and one of the things that you can do as a professional is talk to the realtor and say, let's extend that inspection time. Perfect. Until after this family is, yeah, out of quarantine. We don't want to put anyone's health at risk.
Fair enough.
We just don't want it, and we don't want to put ourselves at risk. But I will tell you that most of the time, at least this last week, we were business pretty much as usual. Our office is good because we're all well more than 6 feet away from each other, because most people have their own offices on our team. But we also, on showing property, we're just having people not go in the same car. They follow us, which most people do that anyway. They want, mm-hmm, their own vehicle. Mm-hmm. I love to show property with someone in my car, because that way I can hear their thoughts. Exactly. As they talk to each other about the house they've just been in. So the one thing you can do as a realtor, if you're listening on something like that, between showings, put them on FaceTime or on a phone call and ask them what they thought of that house and what they thought of the other as you're going to, mm-hmm, the next house. FaceTime, you don't want to do that while you're driving, yeah, necessarily.
Well, and that's a part that we have done for a while, is helping out-of-state individuals who are purchasing houses. I mean, we've done that before, like doing the FaceTime and doing that through virtual tours where you do most of your things. And now it's just happening all the time. We're already prepared business-wise to handle it. So it's just kind of business as usual. And we have the Matterport pictures where they can do a virtual tour of all our listings. It looks,
right,
good.
Scott, what do you, when you inspect a house, kind of what's your pricing point?
Typically, it depends on the square footage. We don't up price for extra HVACs, but we're typically right around the 14, 15 cents a square foot average. And we have a minimum up to $250 up to 1,000 square foot. And then we have $300 up to 1,800 square foot. And then it's 14 cents a square foot after that, which is
houses are under 3,000 square feet.
They are. That's correct. So that's kind of our price point. We charge extra if there's a pool. I try to encourage the people to allow us to bring in a pool expert. It's kind of like having a water well septic. We charge extra for that because it's a time issue as well, and it's also a cost issue for us because we pay for the lab work and pay for the DEQ report, so there's a little extra cost to us.
So you guys do that yourself?
We do that ourselves.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be handy,
mm-hmm,
because if you've got water well and septic, usually you got to bring in somebody else So that's wonderful. And we've got a lot of water well and septic in our metro because our metro's huge.
Yeah, we really do. And the, you know, the real uptick that the Choctaw and Jones area is having because of this freeway going around there, you know, almost everybody out there has it. So it's been really good for us. And all of the inspectors that work with me are certified for water well and septic both.
Their water is so soft out there on the east side of town. I love it. It's like you got your own little water softener.
So, exactly right.
Yeah, they got good water on the east side. So, okay, Mike Gannon is telling me already our time is up. But we'll be back.
We'll
be back after a break with more with Scott Hill. Call us first home inspections, and we'll return right after this with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000, KTOK.
It's just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Thank you, Mike Gannon. We love our producer, feeling groovy. Okay. What's your final word, Scott, on home inspections?
Conscientiousness. You know, that's a good word. To be conscientious means that you're going to cover all the avenues. You're going to make sure that the client's happy and make sure that the realtor gets the business and gets it done the proper way. And most of all, being conscientious means that you're going to be thorough and give the best job that you possibly can.
Some people really think that finding bad stuff on a home inspection and deciding not to buy the house, that they've wasted their money. I would say that's your best spent money on a real estate deal, wouldn't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We find a lot, but we also, you know what, if it's not there, we don't report it. We'll do the right thing.
Yeah, and your inspection reports are terrific. Call Scott Hill at Call Us First and eat your lunch at Casa Perico today, 755-1506, and we're going to see you next week with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.